didn't have to do it, but he did. He could have given up the cup. He asked the Father, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, your will be done and not mine." So hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And it's through him we have hope today. And it's through him we have a reasonable portion of health and strength. And we have gift of everlasting life. And we can enjoy heaven on earth and until eternity. Amen. For the blood of the Lamb. Well, good morning, Good Hope. Good morning. What a pleasure it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And let's give a round of applause for the shepherd of this house, Dr. D.Z. Cofield. And we will remain prayerful for his health recovery. I don't know about you, but we're living in some trying times. And just as we get through one problem, here comes another. And we get that fixed. And we have peace of mind just for a moment. And then here is something else that comes our way that leaves us feeling hopeless. But my prayer is that the word I'm going to present to you will bless your life and encourage you to stand firm, even in the midst of hopelessness. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for all that you are. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for embracing us and caring for us, even though we are unworthy to be loved by you. You've chosen to love us in spite of ourselves. So, Lord, we commit our hearts and our minds and our life into your hands. We pray that what will be said and done in this service and the next will be pleasing in your sight. Hide me behind the cross and let your word go forth and do what only you can do, and that is transform the heart and minds of believers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of war going around in the country. You know that. They're dropping bombs here and there and killing civilians. Russia against this country, that country against that other country, and people are losing their lives. Some people are left in a state of hopelessness, and it's such tragic events. It really saddens my heart to see the devastation of the destruction that takes place when they're dropping bombs on innocent civilians. But the truth of the matter is life drops bombs on us every day, sometimes leaving us feeling hopeless. For instance, a wife, after being married 25 years, leaves a wedding ring and a note on the bedroom dresser with her husband found the next day saying, "I want a divorce." A husband finds out that his wife has been having an affair for the last 10 years with her best friend. That's a bomb, y'all. Daddy's baby girl comes home from college after a second year in PV. And she goes to her room during spring break, and she cries profusely. And dad finally says, "What's wrong, baby? Tell me what's going on." And she says, "Daddy, I'm pregnant." That's a bomb. When a child dies unexpectedly, that's a bomb. A 30-year-old adult finds out through loose lips, 30 years old, she finds out that she's adopted through the lips of a relative. A person shows up to work after 20 years of dedicated service and is told by their supervisor, "This today is your last day." A single woman finds out that her boyfriend's on the down low, and she goes to get a physical examination. She finds out that she has herpes. Doctors drop bombs on their patients all the time by announcing cancer and other unexpected illnesses. The sudden death of a loved one or a child or a spouse or losing everything to natural disaster can be explosive episodes in our lives, giving us a sense of feeling of hopelessness. But what do you do when life drops bombs in your life? What do you do when you experience very difficult, unexpected circumstances that you did not anticipate that leaves you feeling hopeless? Where can you go to find comfort and relief? Where can you run for shelter? Where can you find comfort for the emotional stress, spiritual and mental healing when life turns you upside down? Lastly, where can you find hope when it feels hopeless in your life? So today, the message is finding hope when you feel hopeless. Finding hope when life feels hopeless. My first point I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, this morning, is you're going to find hope when life feels hopeless. The first thing you must do, you must realize that God's word provides instructions. God's word provides us with instructions. I'm coming out of Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and it says this: whatever was written in ancient times was written for our instructions, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Whatever was written in ancient times was written for our instructions. And when Paul wrote this letter, when he said whatever was written in ancient times, he was referring to the Old Testament. But Peter later on affirmed that the New Testament is also God's inspired word. Whatever was written in ancient times, the word of God was written, y'all, so we can have instructions. Now, who has the authority to create instructions? The person who is the creator of the product has the authority to say how something ought to function. For example, back in the old days, ancient times, when I was younger, my mom would buy some furniture, you know, a dining room set, you know, with some chairs and whatnot. And we went to the furniture store. Well, first of all, we contacted my uncle. He had a truck. And we would go to the furniture store, and she picked out what she wanted, and they would load up the furniture already put together in the back of his truck. But these days, when you go to a furniture store, unless it's gallery furniture, you go to a furniture store and you pick out what you want, they bring you a box. They bring you a box. And in that box is nuts and bolts, pieces here and there, and a piece of paper called instructions. Now, men, you know how we are. We think we know, no, we don't need instructions. And so all of a sudden you start putting together this chair, and when it's all put together, there's a screw missing. There's extra screws here and bolts there. Like, hey, I don't know where that goes, but the chair is wobbly and it's not functioning according to the creator's design. So then we have to do what? Take it all apart and follow the instructions. Husbands, listen to your wives. If I listened to my wife the first time, I wouldn't have this problem. We have to follow instructions. The point is that God's word is an instruction manual for our life, and it's also an instruction manual about living and how we are to function in the world. I was invited to a talk show host once, Tamala Savage podcast. She called me and said, I need you to come on the show and talk about divorce. Person who's contemplating divorce. I said, no problem. I came on. Well, I was talking about God's word and God's design for marriage. And they had some calls come in, right? And one person called in and said, Reverend Rose, we hear what you're saying, but not everybody lives by the Bible. Not everyone lives by the Bible. So I said, what you're saying is not everyone follow instructions. Because God's word is an instruction manual for life and living. And my point, my brothers and sisters, is just God's word is there to show us how to live our life, how to walk in righteousness. And we find ourselves in trouble when we stop following instructions. We get ourselves in trouble because we stop following instructions. But God's word was written for that purpose, to give us guidance, direction in life, how to respond to trials in life, how to operate in relationship to other people, how to respond to God himself. How we should see ourselves in a spirit of humility. God's word provides instructions. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God's word is not just an instruction manual, but God's word is God breathed in the nostrils of man and gave him life. God's word is living, is active, and sharp in any two-edged sword. God's word gives life, and it gives us guidance on how we ought to live our lives. So if we're going to find hope when life feels hopeless first, you must realize that God's word provides instructions. Secondly, you need to realize that God's word will help you persevere. God's word will help you and I persevere. The text says, whatever written earlier in time was written for our instructions, so that, here's the outcome now, here's the result of God's instructions, That is, here's the result of following God's instructions, so that you may persevere through perseverance and encouragement. I'm going to stop at perseverance. That word perseverance means to endure, to stand up under pressure. I remember a running back for the Houston Oilers back in the day named Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell. You ever heard of Earl Campbell? Earl Campbell would run through folks, run over linebackers, and he would carry folks. And, you know, he would be the last person to get back to the huddle. So I had a chance to meet Earl Campbell once at the Hyatt downtown, Hyatt Regency. I worked there for 10 years. I was 19 years old. My coworker said, "Hey, man, Earl Campbell's on the 30th floor." I said, "Man, you lying. Earl Campbell, that's not Earl Campbell." "I'm telling you, man, Earl Campbell's here." So we took the freight elevator to the 30th floor. We could have got fired for that, but we did. Took the back way. Went to the 30th floor, knocked on the door. This big old guy, no taller than me, but big. He was wide as the door, Earl Campbell. And so he invited us in, you know, went to the bathroom, sat there where he was shaving. Now, he had a suite, y'all. I mean, the bathroom like a bedroom. And I said, "Mr. Campbell, let me ask you a question." I said, "You're the hardest running back I've ever seen in my life." I said, "But you're the last one to get to the huddle." I said, "What is it that make you run so hard and get to the huddle last?" He said, "I get to the huddle last. I'm tired of Negroes hitting me. They wear me out." He said, "But when I get in my stance and I look up, I don't see the goal line. I see a big dollar sign, enough to make anybody run." Run over folks. Earl Campbell was an endurer. He had a running back who had tremendous endurance. These times they have these things for, because of the Gulf Coast, when the Gulf Coast, we experience a lot of hurricanes, they have these devices called hurricane straps. You may have heard of them. But hurricane straps are reinforcement for the roof, to make sure that the roof remains attached to the building itself, to the house itself, so it can stand up under the high force hurricane winds that could take the roof off. Now, the house may sway a little bit, but the hurricane straps keeps it in place, allows that house to stand up under pressure. What am I saying? I'm saying is God has given us his word so that when the wind blows and the rains come and the storms rage, we may sway a little bit, but we can keep it together so we can endure suffering. So all I'm saying to you is, if you're going to find hope when life feels hopeless, you must realize that God's word is our instruction manual about life and living, but it also helps us to stand up under pressure, to persevere. Lastly, if you're going to find hope when life feels hopeless, you need to realize that God's word provides encouragement. God's word provides encouragement. Right there in the text, y'all. Again, it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that what? Through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." What is encouragement? Encouragement are words that are spoken, or something that nudge you on to hang in there, to keep on going. Know it's tough. Know you're tired. Know you're exhausted. You're stressed. "I know it's hard," God says, "but hang in there. You can do this." It reminds me of the Houston Marathon runners. Now, in preparation, because they run, they practice, they build up their endurance, but they also eat as many food rich with potassium or supplements to build up their potassium levels so that they don't get cramps. But I don't care how many bananas you eat. Listen, Dr. J.P. Whitaker can tell you this. No matter how many bananas you eat, you will never have enough potassium in your system to sustain you through the 26-mile race. And people they're running. Saw that marathon, the Houston Marathon, they're running. They get to the halfway mark, they're exhausted. There's some Gatorade stands on the side that replenish some of their supplements and potassium. And then just when they get to mile 20, their legs start getting wobbly. They get muscle cramps. They're aching. They're ready to say, "You know what? This is too much. I can't make it." And just when they get ready to give up, they see their family members on the sideline with signs saying, "Come on, Bill, you can make it. Come on, Elder Taylor, you can make it. Hang in there." Now, you running a marathon? Listen, hang in there. You can make it. You're almost there. So there are some times in life we're going to experience some difficulties in our life, some troubles. It's going to come our way. Some bombs will be dropped in our life. But I'm here to tell you today, even though you may be tired of being sick and tired, even though you become to a point where you're exhausted, you're stressed out, you're ready to throw in the towel, you are depressed, maybe even have some suicidal ideation. I'm saying is that God's word gives you encouragement. God's word is our cheerleader at a pep rally that says you can make it. Hang in there. Stick with it. You're going to make it through it, even if it's difficult in your life. No matter how hopeless it seems, stand firm. You can persevere, and you can find encouragement in the scriptures. Now watch this, y'all. When I look at this text, I focus on initially Romans 15:4. That was my focus. But as I began to look at the text closer, the whole chapter, I discovered something. Yes, scriptures is written for our instructions so that we can persevere and find encouragement, but not just for us. Hold on now. Romans 5:1-2 says this. Now we who are strong are to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, not just to please ourselves. For each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So I'm saying is the hope that we have, the encouragement that we receive, the perseverance that we're able to exhibit is not just for us. We are called to share that same hope, that same encouragement, that's the same good news of persevering to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ and to even those who are lost. Watch this, because people come to Christ. How come? Because they come to Christ at the most lowest point in their life, many of them. They are hurting. They are suffering. And watch this. Those who are in the body of Christ are not exempt from suffering from the same struggles the unbelievers have to encounter. We all need hope, help, and encouragement. So we're not to keep this to ourselves, y'all. We are to serve and share the good news with our brothers and sisters and lock arms with them and share our hurt with them. They'll share their struggles with us, and we're walking together arm in arm, step by step together to victory, to cross the finish line. Now, not only the scriptures now provide us with instructions and the ability to persevere and encouragement, but verse 5 of 15 says this. Now may the God who gives perseverance, I'm going to say it again. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ. Yes, the word of God does give us the ability to persevere and encourage, and to be encouraged. But God is the source, y'all. God is the source. He is the sustainer. He is the one who keeps us in our right mind. He is the one who picks us up when we fall. He is the one who carries us when we can't carry ourselves. He is the one who provides a way out of no way. He is the way who guides us in a way he will have us going when we don't have no clue where we're going. And we have no clue what God is doing in our life. He is the one who provides and takes care of us, and he provides security for us. He provides what we need. And the conclusion is this, y'all. Here's the conclusion. It says, whatever was written in ancient time was written for what? Don't tell me y'all forgot already. For our instructions. So that through perseverance and we may have hope. That's my conclusion, y'all. So that we might have hope. And I want to encourage you today that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad your situation is, no matter where you are in life, whether it's a financial struggle, health struggles, mental struggles, there is hope for you and I. There was a young woman who shared a profound statement that one of her professors made in class, in college. And the professor made a statement about Thanksgiving, hope, and encouragement. And she said what her professor said changed her life forever. She'll never forget what he said. You want to know what he said? Her professor said this. He said, being thankful, finding hope and encouragement can be narrowed to a simple mathematical equation. He said, basic math, there are three common symbols. A greater than sign, an equal sign. Some of y'all teachers, right? a less than sign. He said, if what you have is less than what you need, you're a deficit. You're in a deficit. You're stressed. He said, but if what you have is equal to what you need, you're getting by. But if what you have is greater than what you need, you have a reason to be thankful, to rejoice, to have hope, and to be encouraged. So as you examine your life today, my brothers and sisters, is what you have greater than what you need? Is your hope greater than your sorrows? Is your health more important than what you need? Is being clothed in your right mind greater than what you need? Is being able to wake up and open your eyes and see a brand new day greater than what you need? Are you and your wife and your kids and family greater than what you need? Is what you have more valuable and more important than what you need? And if what you have is more valuable and more important than what you need, you have a reason to be hopeful. You have a reason to be thankful. You have a reason to be encouraged, because what God did for you in your past, he will do for you today and for your tomorrow. We all have value in our health. We all value those we love. But when you have Jesus, look, health is good, yes. Being clothed in your right mind, fantastic. Having your family taken care of, wonderful. Your kids not in trouble, wonderful. Your financial needs are being met, no problem. You can pay your bills, great. No ailments, fantastic. But all of that, y'all, pales in comparison to having Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have something greater than health and strength, family and friends. When you have Jesus, you have a reason to have hope. Your relationship with Jesus is greater than what you need. Your fellowship with God is greater than your problems. You can have hope, but hope is not by happenstance, nor is it free. It came with a price. Jesus paid the price so that you and I can have hope. Jesus died on the cross. He was beaten and whipped and nailed to the cross, hung on the cross for 3 days. Then he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, early Sunday morning, I said early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He got up so that you and I can have hope. Hope of heaven on earth and hope of eternal life. There's an old hymn that says this: God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And grave, empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lived. I don't know about you, but because he lives, the Bible said I can cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Because he lives, the word of God says no weapons formed against me shall prosper. Because he lives, the word of God said the Lord is good. And he's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who seek refuge in him. Because God, Jesus does live, it says that the word of God said the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Jesus is the living word. If you want to find hope when life feels hopeless, follow these instructions. I'm closing now. Follow these four instructions. Follow instructions. Persevere. Be encouraged. Stay hopeful. Follow instructions. Persevere. Be encouraged. Stay hopeful. Say it with me. Follow instructions. Persevere. Be encouraged. Stay hopeful. Follow instructions. Persevere. Be encouraged. And stay hopeful. Let us pray. Praise the Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful day, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful because everything that we have is far greater than what we need. And Lord, all we need, which matter be truth be told, Lord, is you in our lives. Because you are a way maker, you are a life sustainer. And it's through your word, Lord, your instruction manual for life, we can come to know you and worship you and love you in spirit and truth and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord, because we know this brings glory and honor to your holy and magnificent name. So, Lord, you know where we are. You know where our hearts are heavy. You know our struggles. But, Lord, we are going to walk by faith and trust in your word for directions and instructions, knowing, Lord, that you have given us the ability to persevere and to find encouragement from your scriptures, Lord, so that we may have hope. And the price has already been paid on the cross. We thank you for the victory. And, Lord, we thank you for your son who has never lost a race, who is overcomer of everything and the ruler of this heaven and earth. And Lord, we know that we are in his hands. And, Lord, we give you our problems. We surrender everything, Lord, our concerns, our emotional stress. We give it to you right now. And we stretch our hands to thee. And knowing that you are our help, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in and through our life. We'll be careful to give you the glory and honor. Do your name when it's all said and done. We thank you. We love you for all that you are. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.